Okay.
Oh, we're busy. We're working.
Hello. Hello. Hi. I call the July 10th, 2018, excuse me, Special Projects and Facilities Committee meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Order, Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
7 o'clock. Member Boren?
Yeah.
Member Brooks?
Yes.
Chair Gaines?
No,
yes. Oh, it's not Chair Gaines. We have two Chair Gaines. Member Gaines?
Yes.
Member Ludden?
Yes.
Chair Underdonk?
Yes, here. Okay,
sorry.
Any matters from the public? Any public here? I see a reporter here, and I see a consultant here. No, okay. All right. Well, then I don't need to do the little advisory. Shall we move on to our discussion on Lakefront Park, the Beach Bluff study? Lisa, will you introduce people
yes,
and get us started?
Yes, I would actually like to introduce John, who will introduce the rest of the team. And everybody knows John from Malton.
I know you all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just, you know.
Well, Chris informed me I have 8 minutes.
The rest of the I did say 8 minutes.
Did you?
That's very random.
I'm not finished. He's going to kick me off because the real meat of this will be buried.
The joke is you really have 45, so you have to think of 37 minutes.
All right.
Under promise, over deliver.
A reminder why we're doing this study in the first place, what the process is or was. And it's tonight is preliminary findings. This is not the final report. Very important. And we'll have Caleb, who's in the back, who's a marine engineer from Baird, and Ed has wandered off somewhere, and I don't know where he is.
Measuring bricks.
He's probably looking at a marvelous building here.
That's so. It. So we carried out a master plan of the Lakefront Park, you know, a blueprint for the future. You told us that you wanted to make it accessible for everyone, more inviting entryways, accessible for all Glencoe residents and diverse activities. So we have play pods, nature-based play, overlooks, mini decks, picnic tables, etc. And an example of some of the entryways, this was sort of the Normandy Coast barrier to keep people out of the park, fences and bike racks, and people regarded it as an obstacle course. And then we designed all these entryways that we actually really like. And we are hoping to start actually working on it, and then we have this to contend with. And
that's another item on the agenda.
This is our whole spring.
I started thinking about actually having a lake or a pond up there, and then Dudley was very concerned that water retained up there would add weight and have an effect on the bluff. And then Chris was also extremely concerned about the bluff. As you see on the right, what it's like after...
it's like a water slide. I don't know what the problem is.
it happens all year round, and of course it affects the historic architecture. And then, how bad was this potential movement? Certainly it's not our forte. And this, I love this one, the cribbing that is just disintegrating. And this was the extent of the project. So it goes from the beach all the way up to North Beach and takes in the overlooks and the ramps down and the stairway down. It does not include the boathouse and the water plant. And we got direction from Chris, if you remember. Only the best for Glencoe. And I had absolutely no problem recommending Baird, who's working on 7.5 miles of Chicago's lakefront. And this is what it said in Business Magazine, a global coastal engineering company that boasts offices in Canada, Chile, United Arab Emirates, Barbados, and Australia. Baird has now been in business 25 years, it's now 26, but their work spans and in a small, significant way remakes the globe. My God, that's sort of ambitious. Lars Barber was the principal in charge. He is now retired, but tonight we have Caleb, who really is the meat of this project. But you'll notice also there was a whole batch of PhDs that were dragged through here to look at your bluffs. An overview, so engineers, planners, scientists, geomorphologists, thousands of marine projects, specialists. Okay, so 100% dedicated to water-related projects, 74 employees. But this might interest you. Rosewood Beach in Highland Park is one of our projects, Forest Park Beach in Lake Forest. And they basically have worked all along the Lake Michigan shoreline. This is the process to date. So they carried out a preliminary technical analysis, went out onto the bluff, and we had soil borings done, and they did a visual assessment, and then cross-sections analyzed to estimate the existing factor of safety. And then the Park District did, you know, Chris said he wants a structural solution because they tried in the past a vegetative solution and it's not hugely successful. Stormwater management is a colossal issue. Surface water in the park, collecting and redirecting surface water, review of existing outfalls, and there are issues there, proposal of new and updated outfalls if required, and then a coastal review, so that's looking at the beach itself and comparing it to other projects in the region. What will be coming is a report with two alternatives for each area developed and with an opinion of probable cost, so we can really get an idea of what you might be facing. And then they'll obviously bring it all back to the staff and then bring it back to you. And Barra La Toza's studio will be doing something similar but in a smaller manner. And I have known that man over there, Ed, who's a brilliant restoration architect since the 1980s. And I won't read all this bump, but they are, I think, the best. And if you go into Chicago, so many famous structures have been restored by them, museums and very important sculptures, etc. Tons of experience with beach houses. Ed worked initially in the Chicago Park District restoring the beach houses along the coast. And also strange and unusual projects like this building from the Century of Progress. There's Ed at the top, and we specifically wanted him, and he is here. And I am going to pass it over to you, Ed, after that.
Me or Bear?
Oh, sorry, Bear. Bear next, then Ed.
Thanks, John. That's a lot to live up to right there.
We could have said less.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it there. I'll leave you to it.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, so my name is Caleb Bark. I work for Baird & Associates. We are a coastal engineering company. What we really specialize on is kind of where the water meets the land. And that's 100% what we're dedicated to. We do a lot of work all over the North Shore area. John had mentioned Forest Park and Rosewood Beach. Actually in the process of permitting another Rosewood Beach pretty close to Highland Park. Similar, maybe a little bit smaller scale, but so we do a lot of work in the region. So really, today, it's just kind of a summary of what we really saw. We don't have any answers to the problems, but so we reviewed the site, we did preliminary technical analysis, and from that we developed recommendations and kind of priority levels, roughly, this is what you should address first. This is your high priority, this is your medium priority, this is your low priority. And ultimately, we plan to, as we develop alternatives and cost, try to come up with a master plan that Glencoe can achieve. So first off, I just want to kind of frame this whole presentation. So kind of the bulk, so really big picture, we're looking at the bluff stability. And beach stability is kind of part of the bluff stability. So I have a diagram off to the bottom right, but so the things I'm going to be addressing today, I think John mentioned some of it, but so surface water management, surface water can cause erosion on a bluff and it'll cause bluff instability. Your bluff toe stability, so basically at Glencoe, that is the beach. The stability of the beach, is that going to protect the bluff toe? Quite often when we see problems with bluffs on especially Lake Michigan, it's because the toe is not adequately protected for the range of water levels it needs to be. I'll also be addressing the bluff slope stability. So we collected soil borings. We acquired some LIDAR data from NOAA to kind of look at what the existing topography is on the slope. And we estimated the factor of safety of kind of the global stability of the slope. I'm addressing two structures in this presentation. There's a lot more in the report, but just the two structures that kind of were in the high priority were the North Overlook and the precast concrete crib wall. And then just kind of finalizing it with, you know, our conclusion on the bluff and recommendations, priority levels for moving forward.
Caleb, could I ask a brief question? Just terminology-wise, when you say bluff slope stability, is that referring to like the likelihood of a landslide after a rainfall, or slow sort of gliding down the hill, or both, or
both really? If we look at the picture, bluff slumping, sliding, those are kind of, you know, kind of what's addressed in the bluff slope stability. I do have a slide later on where I talked about, so you'll hear me talk about surficial creep a lot. Uh-huh. So surficial creep compared to bluff slumping. Bluff slumping is more of a global failure of the slope. Surficial creep is a very slow, surficial creep is what you're seeing any bluff. It's a very slow failure. It's due to cyclical wet, dry, freeze, thaw cycles. Uh-huh. There's not a whole lot you can do about it.
Okay.
Just big picture. So that's kind of what I'm talking about, bluff slopes.
Okay.
And the North Overlook, is that the main overlook on
Park?
One by the tennis courts, right?
Yes.
Okay. Another question.
Yep.
Did you take a look at the ravine outfall as well, and whether that's aggravating the situation?
The ravine outfall.
I believe it's on the...
I don't think we've used that terminology, but you have looked at that outfall.
Center bluff?
Yes.
The center bluff behind the water treatment plant.
I would believe
that ravine?
Yes. Yeah. That comes off the private property that's there?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep, we have looked at that. Okay. We'll be addressing that.
I suspect you're aware of the Baxter and Woodman study that the village has done?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. Baxter and Woodman is just completing a major study for the village of Glencoe on the ravines and outfall, and actually designing repairs to the drainage system that feeds that area. So it'd be good to know about.
Yep. Baxter and
Woodman.
Yeah, I'll definitely look at that. Uh-huh.
Okay, anybody else? Other questions? Proceed.
Thank you. Okay, so as John and Meta mentioned, so a lot of these structures, so we first started out with kind of a visual assessment of the site, and then we backed it up with some limited technical review of the different structures. So the first thing I want to talk about is surface water management. I think that's really what started driving this whole study. Mm-hmm. We know we have a problem in a couple different areas up in the park. It's evident that there is localized areas of surface water erosion caused by the surface water. You can kind of tell it by the vegetation that's missing in some areas. So when we were here on this site, I think it had rained 2 days prior. There's active water dripping over the wall right here. This is right next to the halfway house. Mm-hmm. You've already seen this image. The video that Chris provided. I assume everyone has seen that video.
Yes.
So big picture, you know, the report gets into it a lot more, but there's surface water issues. With the trees in the park, you know, it's going to be difficult to deal with. You know, there's some challenges there, but we know, you know, something that we need to address. I'll get into kind of, we did do like a runoff capacity kind of analysis. I'll get into that in the slides.
Caleb, not to keep interrupting you, but why do trees prevent you from addressing a surface water issue?
So the easiest way to address the surface water in the park, so the park, it's pretty much continuous clay, so the water can't permeate into the soil. So the only way to get rid of the water is by sloping it to the different drains. Right now the park is very, very flat, so the easiest way to do it would be to add topsoil, adjust the drainage. When you start changing the soil layer over the roots of the trees, it can affect the health of trees.
Okay. Also, we're very concerned because you've got some very old oaks, mm-hmm. and oaks are particularly sensitive to changes in ground conditions.
Okay. And ultimately, when we look at alternatives, I think that still should be an alternative. It's going to be the least cost, but we'll look at all other alternatives too. So I believe this is the ravine you're talking about. So when I say I classify the bluffs as the south bluff, the center bluff, and the north bluff. I have a map a little bit later that kind of classifies how we separated each of them. But this is the ravine. So this is another kind of problem area with the surface water. There is a fence kind of at the top of the bluff. You can see there is damming right there. From the leaves.
Should I turn the light out?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So I believe this is right behind the garage of the water treatment plant. It's basically an armored ravine right here. This is Soldier Lake Wall. At the crest, private property behind here, the drainage from that property comes down this ravine. There is a chain link fence gate that extends all the way down to the bottom and leaves debris collect on it. And you can see over here, there's a lot of erosion occurring, the water coming around the side of that. And it's causing erosion right at the crest of the ravine. At the base of it, so these are a lot of our visual observations. At the base of it, right behind the Soldier Lake Wall, it appears there's a concrete catch basin. And I'm not 100% sure, but I assume this catch basin goes to the outfall, I think it's a 16-inch outfall just north of the northernmost sheet pile wall.
That's correct.
Yeah, and so it appears either the water is, so on the picture off to the right, so this might have been from that rainfall event 2 days prior, but there is erosion occurring right around here. So either that surface water is not reaching that catch basin, or that catch basin is undersized.
Is it possible it's just clogged?
It's possible, yeah. It's really hard to see. You can see the concrete catch basin, and then there's riprap covering everything, and so it's really hard to see what the details of that are. But yeah, it's possible it could be clogged. Just because I can't see the details of anything, very likely, you're never going to be able to do maintenance on it. So yeah, that is a valid conclusion. So that kind of summarizes the visual observations, and there's a lot more in the report, but I wanted to kind of touch on the high-level stuff in this meeting. So we did back that up with a high-level technical analysis of the site, so hydrological analysis of the site. The figure off to the right, so the different colors, that's the topography of the site. What a hydrologist is trying to indicate in that figure, trying to demarcate the separate sub-basins. So generally, that's how water drains through each of the sites. The two areas that seem to be commonly have problems. So this right here is Lakefront Park. The roadway is coming down right there. These are the two general areas where it seems like we have standing water in the park. With this LiDAR data, we really don't have the detail because the whole park area is pretty flat. We don't really have the detail to really see exactly how the drainage is routed, but it gives us a pretty good indication. It appears there is a high area right here. just big picture of what this is really telling us is that there's not enough sloping, not enough change in topography to get the water out of the park. Something else I kind of want to touch on. So we did a runoff and capacity analysis. So runoff in each of these sub basins, how much, what is the volume of water? Capacity, how much can the existing infrastructure? So we looked at the number and size of grates and the outfalls. You know, big picture, it seemed like the stormwater system you have is adequate, but I think a lot of the water just isn't getting to the system. It's just bypassing it. So some high level conclusions, I think, and just kind of talk through most of that. Center bluff, you know, at the top of the bluff, likely that gate, that fence should be modified. All of these surface water problems, they can lead to more bluff stability problems if they're not addressed. Just kind of big picture. So that's why, you know, this is kind of a higher priority. Need to address some of these surface water problems before they lead to more of a bluff stability problem.
That gate fence, though, you said it's on private property. Is that gate private property, or is that gate something the Park District or Village put up?
We didn't really ask Bear to assign who owns what property through the course of the survey. That would be something that we would need to work with the village and the residents moving forward.
Historically, that was within the width of the sidewalks. So there is a school of thought that would say that was a village stairway that went down there at one point in time.
Okay. The village has a pretty good set of GIS and topos, mm-hmm. I think, for that area. I think it's a 2-foot contour. So when you talk to them, you can talk about some of those resources that might be available.
Yeah, and actually the LIDAR that we have from NOAA is a little bit better than that in that area.
Okay, good.
I will show the LIDAR map a little bit later. It is set at 2-foot contours, but you know, we do have the ability to minimize those contours. So next section I want to talk about is the bluff to toe stability. And for this site, the bluff toe stability is really the stability of the beach. If you just look at the shoreline in the area, any of you can see, I mean, Glen Cove, the beach is wider here than anywhere else. And that's due to, if you ever look at a map, as a coastal engineer, you know, one of our best tools is just Google Earth, just looking at the shoreline on Google Earth. There are shore perpendicular groins up and down the lake, especially in the North Shore. Generally, the longshore sediment transport, the net sediment transport, goes from north to south. That's why you see all the sand on the north side of the groins. But you know, you're seeing right now your beach is a little bit smaller, a little bit not as wide as it was before. You know, the beach is very, it responds to natural variations in lake levels, wave action, sediment supply, transport. And so when we talk about lake levels, I didn't update this graphic for the meeting, but it's through 2017. Lake levels are high right now, but they're not abnormally high. Mm-hmm. When you design a coastal structure, you look at the overall, like, long-term lake levels, you know, especially the Great Lakes. Great Lakes go up and down. It's kind of a natural variation. You have to plan for your high 19 years. So from in the 70s and 80s, there was 19 years where the water levels were above average. What everyone remembers is below 15 years. Yeah. So you guys had a great beach then. Water levels are back up now. We can't forecast what water levels are going to be in the future. All we can do is look at a hindcast, so that the history of lake levels, and predict what they're going to be like in the future. But when we talk about the beach stability, so right now you have to re-nourish the beach. You're going to have to continue to re-nourish the beach. The only way that you can minimize that requirement is by adding coastal structures. adding T-heads to your groins. You know, it's something that we can look at in alternative analysis. And if we do look at something like that, so the one thing that really stood out in our visual assessment were the two outfalls on the North Beach. I assume you get a lot of erosion during stormwater or during rain events at these. It's kind of a poor detail. Normally, you have the outfalls extend farther out through rubble mound groins. So ultimately, we could look at modifying the detail of the outfalls on both of those. As we talk through the process, it's something that we can look at. But you know, so big picture, the beach is relatively stable, but when you have multiple storms, you're likely going to have to re-nourish the beach to protect the total bluff.
Excuse me for a moment, please.
Yep.
Dudley, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir, please.
So what you were saying is that typically the outflows like this should be extended out into the water and then protected by piles of large gravel or broken concrete. And how would we do that with that being an active sailing beach with people coming in and out of different skill levels and different winds? I certainly understand that having that pipe stop there in and of itself is going to be a recurring problem. But I'm not sure what we would do